Good evening, everybody. Welcome. We have a lot of family here. I don't know how many visitors we have tonight, but if you've wandered in here, you're still in the right place. That's great. We're glad that you are here. This is one of those occasional services. The occasion being, of course, Steve and Chris moving on to the next phase of ministry, leaving the full-time pastoral ministry for now, and seeing what God has in store for them in the future. Tonight we come to just bring it all before the Lord. You know, where else would we want to be on an occasion such as this other than in the presence of the Lord, together with one another? And, you know, as we were talking with Steve, especially Steve and Chris, about this worship, that was the word that came to mind. So we have crafted this service, just thinking through worshiping together. You'll certainly get a sense of that. For those of you who are participants in the service, not going to be called up necessarily, just to follow along, come up when your name is there in the program. We'll have a time of pie and ice cream out in the courtyard afterwards. If I can just say a word now, can you remember something this long? You know, kids, make sure that adults get seats at the tables before you take the seats at the tables. So your friendly word with regards to that. So after the service, we'll have a time of pie and ice cream and further celebrate, remember, hug, all of those things. But tonight we're going to worship. And it's God who calls us into worship just like he does week after week. The words this evening come from 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessarily, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, a faith more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not now see him, you believe in him, and you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Let's stand together and rejoice with that joy that's inexpressible, filled with glory, as we sing praise to our God.
Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God.
Father, as we come this evening, these words certainly lay a path for us. They speak to us of a life that is transient, a life that ultimately finds its meaning in you. We know that in this life there are trials, there are temptations. We are called at appropriate times and the occasion to let goods and kindred go. Father, we don't always like those things. We like our worlds the way that we like them. But you also give us the path that you are our mighty fortress, and that in times like these, we are to lean into you and find you to be the Ancient of Days, the Mighty One, the Powerful One. And so we raise our voices to you in praise this evening. And we ask that you would be among us very powerfully. Holy Spirit, you who hovered over the face of the chaos that was creation, hover over the face of the chaos that is our emotions and our lives. And we pray that even in this moment, as we are here this evening, as your people, this expression of it, this local community with love for you, with love for one another, that you would work your creating work, and that you would bring forth even tonight that which is beautiful, and that it would arise in praise and glory and honor to you. We pray this all in the strong name of Jesus, together as God's people saying, amen. You may be seated.
So Steve and Chris have picked out a few readings that we might read, and I just want to remind you of a couple of things. When Steve stepped into this position, we were at a time of confusion, there were lots of distractions, and tell me if this doesn't sound like Chris and Steve's ministry. It's a short psalm, Psalm 134, from the Psalms of Ascent. And so the Israelites are singing this song as they go up to Jerusalem to worship. A song of ascents. Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. So, he's calling us to worship. He's declaring the name of the Lord, who God is, and he's declaring by what power this God moves forward. This is the creation power that's moving in our lives. Steve and Chris, thank you. That has been your call. So, congregate servants of the Lord, you are all servants of the Lord. Will you please stand with me and read this psalm again. It's in your worship folder. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. May that be your blessing, Steve and Chris. Thank you very much. Go ahead and sit down.
Good evening, Christ Church. We are Jerry and Ina Gortmaker. Many of you know us. We've been here a little over 25 years. And before we read this scripture, I just wanted to share very briefly, and I got my tissue here, Chris. I'm going to try to hold this together. Some of you know, many of you don't know, 47 years ago this month, Chris Moore, Nina Traeger, Jerry Gortmaker, and Steve Holliday were 18-year-old freshmen at Faith Baptist Bible College in Ankeny, Iowa. And the Lord has woven our lives together over the majority of that time. And I'm not even going to use the word bittersweet. It is hard beyond words to lose these dear, dear friends. But I'm not going to go into that now. If you all are going to be around for reception, we have some stories to share. I'll just say that. So I hope you all can stay around. But we're going to read this scripture, and may it bless your heart.
Psalm 84 is a great passage. Often I've said it's one of those passages that brings joy to your heart when you consider that, as the verse says, in whose hearts are the highways to Zion. All of us are on that highway to Zion. God has placed us on that road. There is nothing greater for us to look forward to a time where we will be with our God forever. But even now, we may pass through that valley of Baca, which was the valley of tears. Dry place, place of thorns. But as it says, the hope, therefore, the people of God is that they make it a place of springs, where water springs forth. Nothing greater than the living water from the Lord Jesus Christ. And often I've said this is another one of those passages that there's nothing greater than to be a doorkeeper, a greeter at the house of God. If you aspire to anything, aspire to be those who greet people at the door of the Lord's place. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion.
O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly.
O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you.
From Philippians 1, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. I taught with Chris in the 7th and 8th grade Sunday school class for a number of years, and what Paul references is that partnership. We had a snapshot of that in our class. That partnership of working together and bringing the catechism, and it was all centered on the gospel, and it needed to be. Chris was centered on that, and it was very evident in her preparation every time that she taught a lesson, and also that being centered on the gospel, she provided perspective and a lot of different reminders in scripture that every time she taught, I needed to hear, and she had a great way of doing that, and that perspective, sometimes it was not exactly what I expected. Oh, we also had a lot of fun in that class, too. But Chris spurred me on in that work and teaching, and it was always encouraging. It was, and there was always accountability there. And, you know, when you, obviously it's natural when you have somebody else that's there listening to you teach, but that accountability in, you know, not only what we were teaching, but who we were teaching to, and the weight of that. These 7th and 8th graders, they're at a stage where they're really learning to own their faith. And so that partnership, that was so vital. But that's exactly what Paul references here. And so the work that we were doing then is something that continues on as they move on to that next step. And, of course, it continues on now that another group of people will be teaching that class. So he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ.
If you're following along, you'll see the hymn number 181. Let's stand together and sing the first four stanzas, 181. Be seated. Steve and Chris, they go together. Chris and Steve, Steve and Chris. Chance to hear a word from Chris.
My heart is full as I stand here this evening. So many, many words I could say. So many wonderful memories. And way too many emotions. So I'm going to make it brief. Many, many moons ago, this Baptist girl walked in through those doors to this gathered church. And she found church. You were church to me. Through your love to me, through your grace toward me, and the gift of freedom, I was free to be myself. You trusted me with your struggles, and with your heartaches, and with your joys, and with teaching your children, and I trusted you. That's church. There are many, many important components to the gathered church, and community is a large part of that, and you offered that to me. I sat right there for many, many years under the preaching of Walter Lorenz as he proclaimed the gospel to me and to all of us. And so often at the end of his proclamation, he would raise his hands and he would say, "This is who you are. Now go out and remember who you are as you live your lives this week." And as I stand here this evening, I say to you, this is who you are. This is who you have been to me. My church, continue to be you through Jesus Christ to all the me's that walk through that door into this gathered church. I leave a verse with you, and I take a verse with me. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the truth, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Today we heard from Steve about Jacob and how God planted eternity in his heart to give to others. And that's the beauty of why I can stand here this evening and say to you, I will see you in eternity, and we will know each other, and we will continue our fellowship together. Know that I love you and will always love you, and I will miss you all greatly, but we will see each other again. Hallelujah.
So true. It's true because we have a great God. Let's sing about that. How great is our God? It's printed for you in your bulletin. Stand together.
Oh,
He's my brother. I'm going to miss this man. He's been a father to me in many ways throughout my transition here. Looking forward to hearing him opening the word with us. For those of you who don't know, we probably should have said a little bit of this at the beginning. 24 years, Chris and Steve and their family. I've got their two boys and their daughter and kids and grandkids here. 24 years at Christ Church, 10 years on staff, a number of years previous to that as a ruling elder. So they have had a place of leadership in this church for a long, long time. Many of you are here because of them, even though you don't know it. You know, Steve prayed very earnestly for folks to come, young folks, kids, others, and the Lord answered that prayer. And so it's our privilege to have Steve open this word with us for a moment.
Well, I'm a pretty routine person. As I stand here, and you know my routine, I have a hymnal, and I open it up and I put it here, and then I put my notes on top of it because the pulpit's a little bit too flat, and that lifts it up so that I can see my notes a little bit better. And I have this black notebook that I've had. You've probably seen that. I've had that for so many years. It's got black duct tape on it to hold it together. And so then I would put that in place. And then the announcements, I'd have to put the announcements over here where I could see them because it's easy to lose an announcement like Andrew did a couple of weeks ago. And so I had that. And so then open up the Bible. And then what do? Take the microphone and bend it out of the way, right? Okay, and then what do? I usually try to have some kind of I try to be clever, attention-grabbing kind of introduction, stupid little things that I do, just to kind of see if maybe you might listen, and so at least you listen for that first minute or so. Do you know those bubbles that are over the head of the cartoon characters? You know, you have a cartoon character, and then there's the bubble that's over the head there. Well, what does it mean when the bubble is connected to the head by like these little circles? So there's these little circles, and then there's the bubble. What does that mean? Yeah, they're thinking. So that's not something you say out loud, but that's something that you are thinking. And I always thought it would be interesting as you stand up here to preach if you could actually read those bubbles of what people were thinking. It's Steve. I'd better turn down my hearing aid. It's Steve. I hope he's not too dramatic. I hope he's not too long. Why do those sermon notes have blanks in them? I wonder how the Lions are going to lose today. Where are my King Mints? So maybe some of those kind of things you're thinking. But I do know that there are a lot of thoughts, because I can see it on your face like this. Okay, I'm ready. Bring it. Okay, Lord, here I am. Teach me. Okay, Lord, I submit my heart to you. Do your work in me. Here's my heart. Take and seal it. Those kind of thoughts. And I just want to thank you for your eagerness to receive the words and to receive the word of God with humility week after week. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Listen to this. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Now, it is my temptation and my propensity to proclaim myself. And if there was ever prime time opportunity for that, here it is. So may I resist that, and please forgive me for all of the times that I have proclaimed Steve, for when I have done that, I have profoundly cheated you of what you should be hearing. But let me set the record straight, just to let you know that my real desire is verse 5, that Jesus Christ as Lord would be proclaimed. And when that happens, it is only the grace of God that causes it to happen. So at the risk of proclaiming myself, I want to share with you, and I'll be very brief. So homily is, this is a hom, okay? At the risk of proclaiming myself, I want to share some personal things. And I want to share the most important thing that the Lord has taught me at Christ Church. So if I was to be real serious with you and tell you what's really important to me one-on-one, this is what I would tell you. And let me start with verse 6 then, 2 Corinthians 4. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I want to share just two things. They're unbelievably simple and unbelievably profound. And I talked myself out of this multiple times. I just need to say something else, but I guess kept coming back to it. And the two things that I want to share with you, the Lord really impressed them upon my heart like 15 years ago in a big way. And then just 3 years ago, he reinforced it again. This kind of one of those unusual times. I was doing one of those trips to China, and I was supposed to speak, but I was waiting for something, and I was in my hotel room. And so I just had this time. I couldn't really go anywhere because I was kind of on call. They're going to need you at any time. But so I just had this time where I was just kind of stuck, and I just had some real quiet time with the Lord for quite a while, and the time that they wanted me to come was delayed and delayed, and I had more time, and the Lord just impressed these profound things on my heart. Two things, life-changing for me. You ready for this? Number one, God is knowable. Profound, huh? God is knowable. And number two, he is worth knowing. He's worth knowing. So if I was going to give you an outline, point number one would be the beam. And point number two would be the beauty. So number one, first thing that I want to share with you is that God is knowable. God has shown in our hearts the beam. He's shown in our hearts. God is infinite, yes. His ways are past finding out, yes. He dwells in unapproachable light, yes. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, yes. But he is knowable. How amazing is that? He's not knowable because we have such great insight, and not because we have such a great intellect or a great comprehension level. It's not because we're so clever or we're such good seekers or good researchers or whatever. It's not that. He is knowable because he has revealed himself. He has shown himself the beam. We can know him because he wants us to know him. And if that is true, then that changes everything, doesn't it? I mean, if the Creator God, who created everything, who knows everything, who knows us, if that kind of sovereign, powerful God, if we can know him, that just changes everything. So that's what I want my life to be about. That's what I want your life to be about, knowing him. And not just knowing him as doctrine, not just knowing him as theology, not just knowing him as moral code, not just knowing about him, not just knowing a sovereign being that is out there somewhere, but knowing him as a person. Sounds so simplistic, doesn't it? So here's the personal part. Here's what I do, and let me demonstrate this for you if I can. This is my mental image that I have over and over again, and I have drawn it on scraps of paper over and over again. A chair here, and usually when I draw it, there's a little table in between. Okay? And this is me. And that's God. And that is amazing. And that's my favorite time. It's not devotions. It's not sermon preparation. It's not any of that. It is my time with a God who is knowable. That's the beauty. So beam and beauty. That's the beauty. That I can sit down at a table as if we are having coffee like you would with anyone. That's how I want to know God. I want to know God in that way. Sovereign, powerful, worship, yes. Fall down on my knees, yes. All of those things. But I really desire this. And I love that. And I'm growing in that more and more as I sit there and just have time with the Creator God. Point two, God is worth knowing. The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The beautiful face of Jesus Christ. I'm just beginning to get to know him. But what I'm finding out is I really like him. You know? I mean, he's really great. He's really great. And I enjoy that time so much. A number of months ago, I had a conversation with a guy who had decided to turn away from the faith, and he just didn't buy it anymore, and he just didn't believe what he believed. And I said to him, yeah, I hear what you're saying,
don't you miss him? Don't you miss him? I mean, I can't turn away because of this. I mean, I would miss him. And that's what I want for me, and that's what I want for you, is that you would have, that you'd know God like this. Know him as a person that you just sit down and have a conversation with. See, if you know him, then everything else falls into place. Everything else starts to fall into place. Because he just, in his humble way, he just comes in and he just takes over. And it's great. So soak in his beauty. Whatever you have to do it. Soak in his beauty and gaze into the glory of his face. Gaze into the face of God. Let's do that, okay? You do it here. We'll do it there. We'll give glory to God. He'll be praised. Well, one more thing, and I'm done. We're going to miss all of you. And we know that you are going to miss Chris and me. But let me just say this. Anything good, I know there's stuff that you won't miss for sure, but anything good about Chris and me that you will miss, anything good, that is from the Lord. And therefore, you'll find it in him. So you won't lose it. It'll never go away. Can I pray for us? Lord, I don't know, kind of rambling thoughts, but from my heart and from your word, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for making yourself known to us. Thank you that you're so good and so faithful and so loving and all of that, and you're worth knowing. Make that our heart's desire every day to know you. And may Jesus Christ be praised in our lives. Amen. Well, let's stand together and sing.